May the spoken word and the written word lead us to the living word in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Doctors Kathleen and Gay Hendricks tell a story in their book, Attracting Genuine Love, about a friend who was going to a party, and at this party, he would be meeting his wife's co-workers from her brand new job for the very first time. And he felt anxious. As the time for the party grew near, he wondered whether they would like him or not, whether he would make a good impression. He didn't want to mess up his wife's employment by not being the right kind of person. He rehearsed these various scenarios in his mind in which he tried different ways to impress all these people, and as they drove to the party, he got more and more tense all the time. But on the way to the party, he came up with an idea, a radically different approach, one which caused his anxiety to begin to melt away. He decided that instead of trying to impress anyone, he would spend the evening simply listening to them and summarizing what they had just said to him. And so that's what he did at the party. He spent the evening responding with phrases like, "I understand what you're saying. You feel strongly that," and then he would carry on. Or, "Let me see if I understand what you mean," and repeat back to them what he had said. And he was amazed by the fact that no one noticed or remarked on the fact that he was just listening. In fact, all of the people he talked to seemed content and even appreciative of being listened to without interruption. So on the way home, his wife, whom he had not told anything about what he was planning to do, said that a number of people had made a point of telling her what a remarkable person they thought he was. One used the word charismatic. Another said, and I liked this one quite a lot, another one said that he was the most articulate person she had ever met. To be human is to have a need to be heard. And this man, in an attempt to reduce his own social anxiety, simply listened. And in so doing, he tapped into this fundamental and powerful human longing. To be heard is to have our existence acknowledged, to have our significance recognized, and to feel valued. And that brings us to our gospel reading this morning. At the very heart of the gospel accounts, of course, are Jesus' miracles. In these accounts, we see Jesus doing the very things that the people of his day expected a Messiah to do. He healed the sick, and he exorcised demons. It was in these healings and exorcisms that the fuel was added to this public belief that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah. Of course, all of that messianic hope was to take a very unexpected turn later on when he was crucified by the Jewish and Roman authorities. No one really saw that coming, but that's a different sermon for another day. I believe that these miracles are recorded for us for at least two reasons. First, they show that Jesus was a man who was anointed with incredible power from God. But that's not the only reason. After all, there are a whole lot of ways that Jesus could have shown power. If it was just about power, he could have blown things up or burned things down. There are lots of ways to just display raw power, feats of strength. But of course, he didn't do those things. And that leads us to the second reason for these miracles, one that is forgotten, I think, too often. Miracles don't just tell us about Jesus. They also tell us about the nature of the kingdom that Jesus had come to inaugurate. The whole idea of the Messiah coming was not just to display power, but to restore that which was horribly and painfully broken. And by looking at the kind of miracles that Jesus did, we see which areas of human brokenness were of particular concern to him and to his kingdom. Today's text is no exception. The healing of the deaf man occurs only in Mark's gospel, but it is one of my absolute favorite miracles. And I love it for several reasons. First, I love it because it takes place in Gentile territory. It says it's in the region of the Decapolis, which is to the east of the Jordan River, and it's kind of a cluster of 10 predominantly Gentile cities in that region. And so here is Jesus, once again throwing off these traditional ethnic categories and healing someone who was considered an unwelcome other in Jesus' home culture. Immediately prior to this, he's healed the daughter of the Syrophoenician woman, also part of our reading this morning, and also Gentile. And so we have a theme going. It's a reminder of the bigness of the kingdom of Jesus. It is a kingdom that's for every kindred, every tribe, every nation, Jew and Gentile, for those like us, but also for those very much unlike us. Even more, I love this miracle because of the kind of afflictions that Jesus heals. The text says that this man was both deaf and couldn't talk. And there's a very particular Greek word that's used, mogalelos, is used to describe his speechlessness. And it's only used once in the New Testament. The New Revised Standard translates it having an impediment in his speech. It likely means, as the NIV says, that he could hardly talk. It's fascinating that this word that's only used once in the New Testament is also only used once in the Greek translation of the Old Testament. And it's used in Isaiah 35:6 in the midst of this poetical description of the messianic age, and it predicts that when the Messiah comes, the tongue of the mogalelos will leap for joy. So here's a miracle, which is perfect for showing Jesus as the powerful Messiah, but also perfect for showing the kind of kingdom that Jesus is starting. It's a kingdom which will redeem our humanity. It's a kingdom which will restore us to a fully redeemed experience of our humanity before God. And of course, crucial to this restoration is the idea that humans ought to both hear and to be heard. Let me clarify. It's not that this man was any less human than anyone else. He was created in the image of God and was therefore fully human. But he had this distinct disadvantage in how he experienced his humanity. At our core, we are relational creatures, and to be relational is to communicate, and to communicate is to hear or to perceive and to be heard. You can imagine the challenge of this man trying to simply communicate with those around him, especially prior to a time when there was an organized, systematic sign language that was standardized in any way. And we can imagine, or maybe we can't imagine, the loneliness of this man's life. So here is Jesus. Here is the Messiah restoring this man, restoring to this man, the fullest experience of his humanity. And this is a powerful image of what the Messiah wants for all of us and for every human. And I love the way that Jesus does this. It gives me goosebumps, actually. Jesus easily could have just snapped his fingers and the man would have been healed. Jesus could have just thought a thought in his mind, be healed, and the man would have been healed. But instead, Jesus becomes very dramatic and very demonstrative in this moment. He uses outward signs to help this man, and by ricochet, they help all of us too, who read it all these centuries later. It helps us to understand what is about to happen. He takes the man aside. I am so glad that Jesus did this, because in doing this, he completely sets himself apart from all of the Benny Hinn faith healer types of this world. There's no playing to the crowd here. His focus is on this man. He plays to an audience of one. He wants to communicate with this man who can still understand, even though he can't hear. And so he puts his fingers in the man's ears, and he puts some of his own saliva on the man's tongue. Ew. Gross. That's what I thought when I read it. While unsanitary by our standards, it's important. He can't tell the man what he is about to do, so he shows him. My friend, Jesus is saying, this is about your ears, this is about your tongue, this is about my life flowing into you. Then Jesus looks up into heaven and he sighs. Here Jesus is identifying with the loneliness and the suffering of this man. Here Jesus is showing the man where his healing is coming from. Jesus is pointing the man to God, to the source of good and life. Shortly after this healing, of course, Jesus would leave. He would go off to another place, and the man would be left behind, and it was essential that he knew that his healing had come from God who was with him still. And the text says that the people were overwhelmed with amazement. And we are too, as we read this. And in our amazement, we're left with a very practical question. What might this have to do with us? Well, first and foremost, we celebrate with praise this profound reminder of the messianic love and power of Jesus. But it also reminds us of our mission. If the messianic kingdom is all about restoring people to the fullest experience of their humanity, and if we as the church are called to have a part of that mission in the name of Jesus, then we will be compelled to seek out those people in our world who struggle to be heard. It means that we will view the ministry of listening, of really hearing, as among the most messianic of acts. And we will delight in giving voice to those who struggle to be heard. Now, this is pretty countercultural stuff for us. We live in that age Charles Taylor calls the age of authentic individualism. And that means we are wired to make self-expression a real priority. As a result, sometimes it seems that there is this cacophony of voices all vying for attention and all getting louder and louder and louder. We watch TV advertising, try this sometime, and notice how frequently the product being sold is identified with the consumer making a statement about who they are and what they stand for. Right? If you drive this kind of a car, you're making this kind of a statement. And if you drink this kind of beer, you're making this kind, and so it goes. And it turns out that this tendency, this need to be heard, this need to express ourselves, drives our consumer culture even in a very powerful way. Another example, and please know that I'm not anti-social media. I think they can be wonderful tools. But I think we ought to be careful with social media. And at its worst, at its very worst, Facebook, for example, can deteriorate to a whole lot of people all yelling, notice me, look at me, notice me, all at the same time. And of course, none of them are really being heard above the din. But I think that Jesus points us to a more beautiful path. Instead of spending all of our time and effort trying to be heard above the fray, find those who are not being heard at all and just listen. We're not used to noticing these folks, but they're all around us. They are in our presence. They are among us. Sometimes they are small children. Sometimes they are the aged and infirm. Sometimes they are the disabled. Sometimes they are the poor. Sometimes they are those who are struggling with anxiety or depression. Sometimes they are the abused. Sometimes they're the members of our family. Sometimes they are us. We most often find them among those with the least power in our culture, or at least those who have come to believe that they are powerless. And we may or may not be able to touch their tongues with physical healing, but we can certainly listen, we can certainly hear them, and we can certainly try to help them to find their voice. It has been said that we have two ears and one tongue, so that we will listen twice as much as we speak. This is a truism that all of us who preach need to memorize. And whenever we take this to heart, whenever we choose to listen, we are, in a small but very significant way, taking up the kingdom work of our Messiah. We are starting an exciting new year here at St. Augustine's. In fact, next week there will be a listing of a variety of volunteer opportunities in the bulletin for all the different programs that are starting up. Wonderful time. I love the fall so much. But there will be other ministry opportunities too. These are ones that you can't sign up for, ones that don't appear in the bulletin, ones that aren't in any job description, ones that arise only out of sensitivity to the Spirit of God. And they come upon us, they present themselves to us as we drink coffee downstairs after the service, as we go about our daily lives, grocery shopping or going out for dinner, as we interact with people who are beautiful because they are created in the image of God. Let us pray that God would help us to be faithful this year, not only with the organized opportunities that you can sign up for, but with these opportunities to listen. Let us pray that we might resolve to listen, to hear, and to help others be heard. Amen.